Here's the bullshit that's happening now down in Australia. Cody Rhodes and his little girlfriend Seth Rollins are gonna go on the Waller Effect. Here's the thing. I need you and you and this goof holding the camera and this one holding the microphone over here. I need all of you guys to make sure that Perth knows some bullshit happening. And if those...
Hey, we got Hill Rock back, baby. We got Hill Rock back. And, oh, it's going to be a good time. A lot of questions. I got some questions for you. We're going to get some answers today. TBP is live. Let's go. Welcome to the Talking About Podcast. I'm your host, TW. Listen, I know you have so many choices for your entertainment. So whoever you are and wherever you may be, thank you so much for spending a few minutes of your day here with me. Give it up for yourselves. Come on in and hang out with your boy. Real quick, before we get started, please consider hitting the subscribe on the YouTube channel. Hit the like button on the video. Hey, listen, anybody who hops in here, hit that like button at least one time. And the best thing you could do if you want to help out the channel, share the video, tell a friend to tell a friend. Let's bring more people into the conversation and let's get to it. So, what's everybody talking about? Well, the road to WrestleMania. And the road to WrestleMania is getting a little bit more clear. We had some confusion. There was some back and forth. Cody won the Royal Rumble. Was Cody supposed to win the Royal Rumble? Was CM Punk supposed to win the Royal Rumble? Was CM Punk supposed to face Seth Rollins at WrestleMania? Is Drew McIntyre going to face Seth Rollins at WrestleMania? What's going to happen to The Rock? Is The Rock going to face Roman Reigns at WrestleMania? So many questions we got to figure out, and we need to know. But we're starting to get a little more clarity after that confusion, okay? We know that Roman versus Cody is going to be the match, right? If Roman versus Cody is not the match, then the streets of America will be flooded with the tears of the Cody crybabies. You guys have shown yourself to be a very strong and powerful group. So congratulations to you. You are going to get what you want, you losers. No, I'm just kidding. We're all fans. We all got passionate about it. If Cody's your guy, good for you. But in the lead up to getting Cody versus Roman established as the main event match for WrestleMania, we had this press conference, right? And at this press conference, Seth Rollins looked like a fish out of water. He looked like somebody who did not belong up there with all those main eventers. And it really looked like Seth Rollins was getting buried to no end. But as this is coming around, it actually looks like Seth is being positioned to be elevated. I know that sounds crazy, but Seth might actually be in position to be getting elevated right now. And the reason why is because Seth's not going away. Seth, again, looked like he didn't belong. He was there standing as Cody was talking to Roman, and Roman called him little bro. He said something like, "Get this bum off my stage." And Seth Rollins just standing there looking like a sad, sad puppy. But that sad, sad puppy is not going away, because on Monday Night Raw, Cody Rhodes came out and he was having his interview. And then Seth Rollins came out, and then Seth Rollins made another impassioned pitch to Cody Rhodes to please include me. No, he didn't say that. But what he did say is that he's now behind Cody Rhodes. He now supports Cody Rhodes in his quest to take everything from Roman Reigns, because Seth Rollins recognizes that. You know why? Because deep down in Seth Rollins' heart, he is a hater. Give that man some love. I got love for the haters. Seth Rollins is a true hater, and he hates to see all the success that Roman Reigns is having, and he wants to see Roman get toppled, and he thinks Cody is the man for the job. And so he said to Cody, look, you got your shot. You won the Royal Rumble, and you got another shot at Roman Reigns, but what's going to be different this time? And you know what? That was a great question. Because if you're Cody Rhodes, what is going to be different this time? What reason do we have to think this time would go any different than the last time. He laid out the whole case as to why he, and this was the money line, he said Roman Reigns, you know, he became a monster. I taught him everything he knows and all this other stuff. But he said, this time you got to go against Roman Reigns and The Rock. And I am the one man who is uniquely positioned to be your shield. Whoa. Whoa. Bars. Yo, I got to say, Seth has been hitting on the promos lately, man. Seth has been hitting on the promos. I think Seth gets bored sometimes when they just give him stuff to do. And it takes Seth getting jabbed a little bit to come back with his best stuff. But when Seth is on, man, he is an outstanding promo. Seth really is an outstanding promo. Like, he brings the heat. He the last couple of weeks, you know, really campaigning to get himself back in the mix with these main events. He's really brought it. He's really brought it. So I got to give Seth his credit. And again, where it looked like he was being buried, I think now he has all new life. Because we got the Elimination Chamber coming up, right? By the time you hear this, you may have already watched the Elimination Chamber. But we know that Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes are going to be on the Grayson Waller effect, right? And again, they're keeping Seth next to Cody for a reason. As a matter of fact, on Monday Night Raw, Cody Rhodes lost the match. If you can believe it, Cody Rhodes lost the match. But the way he lost it, they painted the picture that was so similar to last year at WrestleMania. He was about to give the crossroads to Drew McIntyre, and then Solo pops up on the apron, gives Cody the deadly thumb, pause, and Cody ends up losing the match, right? Same way it played out at WrestleMania. In the trainer's room, Cody's sitting there looking dejected, looking hurt. And Seth looks in there Seth walks in there and gives Cody a look that says, I told you so. He gives him a look that says, I told you so. And now we're going to get Seth and Cody on the Grayson Waller effect. And I have a feeling they're going to challenge The Rock and Roman Reigns to a tag team match at night one of WrestleMania, which, listen, I think that could be cool. But if you're Seth Rollins and you've always wanted to main event WrestleMania, how does this help you? How does this help you if you're Seth Rollins? I mean, there's a chance, right? Seth and Cody and Roman could end up pulling two nights of duty at WrestleMania. The main event of night one might be Roman and The Rock versus Seth and Cody. And then the main event of night two would be Cody versus Roman. Now, if that's the case and you're Seth Rollins and you want it to main event, you're still not main event. I mean, you are, but you aren't, right? Like, you're one of four people in a tag team match. Whereas previously, you were going to get that night one spot to yourself with CM Punk. And even though they're putting Seth in the mix for what is going to be the biggest match, he still seems like the odd man out. He still kind of seems like the odd man out. And it's just, you know, it's just weird. Now, here's something that we have a question about. On the other side of this, we had The Rock come out with Roman Reigns on Friday night. Actually, Roman Reigns came out first. He said it's going to be one of the biggest nights in the bloodline. And then he brought out The Rock.
Acknowledge me.
Of course, he asked everybody to acknowledge him. But after everybody acknowledged him, he brought out The Rock, and The Rock told everybody, you know, that he's now a member of the Bloodline. He said the Bloodline is the most powerful duo in sports and entertainment. And at one part, he made a line. He said a line that I think just really stuck in everybody's attention. And so let me ask a question. Question for everybody in the chat, everybody watching this video. Drop your answer down below. Here is our first question. The first question we got to answer. Is The Rock going to betray Roman Reigns? That is our question. Is The Rock going to betray Roman Reigns? We need to know. We need to know. Put your answer down in the chat below. We need to know, is The Rock going to betray Roman Reigns? Now, me personally, I don't think these are Easter eggs, okay? So the things that people pointed out and said were Easter eggs, I think they're making something out of nothing. I think they're looking for some stuff. The things that people thought were a little something, a little sign, during Rock's promo, He's cutting his promo and he's, you know, looking over here to the crowd, looking over here to the crowd, looking over here to the crowd, looking over here to the crowd. And at one point he says, The Rock's going to do everything in his power to make sure you walk out of WrestleMania exactly what you are, which is a loser. Now, when he said that, he happened to be pointing to the same side of the ring that Roman Reigns was on. Now, if you let the internet tell it, The Rock was looking dead at Roman Reigns, and Roman just couldn't tell because he had on glasses, and Paul Heyman caught it, but nobody else caught it. And I am calling shenanigans. I'm calling shenanigans because I think this is people making something out of nothing. I think this is people fishing for something. And I know that one of the hallmarks of Triple H's tenure as the head of creative has been little tiny hints and little breadcrumbs, little Easter eggs, if you will, leading to bigger parts of the story. You'll see two people talking in the foreground, and then over their shoulder, there'll be a person in the background talking to somebody else, which ends up being a piece, a hint to a bigger part of the story coming up. Another thing that people are pointing to is at the end of Rock's promo, when he said, if you smell what the bloodline is cooking, and everybody threw up the ones, The Rock threw up his one kind of like this, right? No, like this, right? He threw it up like this. And what was everybody saying? They said The Rock was throwing up an L. He said The Rock was throwing up an L because that was a symbol that he was going to betray Roman Reigns. And I'm like,
emotional damage.
I get it. I understand. We're still weeks away from WrestleMania, and there wasn't a whole lot of juice in the dirt sheets this week, and y'all need something to talk about, right? Super Bowl has come and gone, and y'all just need something. Y'all need something to keep the interest going, keep the conversations going. But this ain't it, man. Y'all are fishing in a sandbox, right? Y'all are fishing for fish in a sandbox. I don't think there's anything here. Now, I will say this. I do think that we're eventually going to get Rock versus Roman. But the way that I see this playing out will be something to the effect of Roman's going to lose the title to Cody at WrestleMania, either at WrestleMania or later. By the way, I just got to say, if Cody loses again at WrestleMania, oh my God. Oh, the excitement that you will see. I may come on this pod and spontaneously combust, okay? I may burst into flames of happiness because nothing would make me more happy than to see all the Cody crybabies just, oh God, going crazy, losing their minds because Cody Rhodes lost one more time. If I could just get that in my life, I'll be a happy, happy man. I would be a happy, happy, happy man if I could see the Cody crybabies just lose and just cry one more time. Oh my God, that would be happiness for me. But I do think that Roman is going to lose to Cody at WrestleMania. And I think once Roman loses to Cody, then I think him and The Rock will start to butt heads. I think we'll see little things, maybe even leading up to it, where Roman and The Rock butt heads. Maybe Roman will give Solo an order and Rock will veto it. Or maybe Rock will give Jimmy an order that Roman didn't approve of, and we'll see Roman and Rock butting heads a little bit. One thing I do think has been consistent about, what has been consistent about The Rock's character, even dating back to the Nation of Domination, the beautiful thing about the potential for a little bit of character consistency here is that The Rock has never been one to fall in line, right? The Rock has never been one to play second fiddle. So if The Rock's going to be in the bloodline, The Rock's going to lead the bloodline. But how is Roman Reigns going to feel about that? How is Roman Reigns going to feel about that? The man,
acknowledge me.
The man who has been walking around talking about acknowledge me for 3 years, 4 years now. How is he going to feel having to take a little bit of a backseat to The Rock? That can't end well. So I can see a lot of situations in which The Rock and Roman Reigns will find themselves a little bit at odds as the time goes on. And eventually, Roman and The Rock will come to a head. But there's a million ways you could do it, right? Are you going to have The Rock basically take control of the bloodline from Roman Reigns and then have them turn on Roman and excommunicate Roman? Or are you going to have Roman make the power play to try to kick The Rock out of the bloodline? Eventually, we will get to a Roman-Rock head-to-head. But how we get there, I think, is up for grabs. I don't think that this is all a big ploy for The Rock to betray Roman Reigns at WrestleMania and just say, I was on Cody's side all along. That would be some really trash storytelling, in my opinion. I think everybody can do a lot better than that. There's a lot better ways to get to a Rock versus Roman match than having such a simple betrayal just happen and, you know, something that nobody really cares about one way or the other. So I do think that we're going to get to Rock and Roman, but I don't think that the Easter eggs or what people thought were Easter eggs was what people thought it was. I think, look, man, The Rock's a big dude. He lifts weights a lot. Like, maybe his hand don't bend like that. You know what I mean? Like, you never know, man. When you lift weights a lot, sometimes your muscles don't all, you know what I mean? Could have a little cramp. Could have a little hand cramp. You know what I mean? Like, these muscles might just be so diesel that he can't close them all at the same time. Or maybe he just felt like doing that. Maybe he's just like, I'm Rock. I'm an individual, right? This is everybody falling in line. All of y'all fall in line. And I'm The Rock. I'm the one. I'm the one. It could have been that. I don't think that this one little gesture, or maybe these two little gestures that people are thinking, I don't think they are what people want them to be. But we're getting closer and closer to WrestleMania, so these things are going to play out. But what do you think? Let me know. Drop it down in the comments. Let me know. What do you guys think? Now, the other part of this is the Cody aspect. And I keep coming back to this because the outcry was so loud from everyone once they thought Cody wasn't gonna get his match. All the babies, oh my God, Cody's not gonna finish his story, okay? Because there was so much of that, I gotta ask the question, what is it that people love about Cody Rhodes so much, okay? What is it? Because I think a lot of the stuff that people like about Cody that makes him look like a top guy or a main character, however you want to say it, I think people are going to get sick of that stuff real quick. Let's say Cody wins the title from Roman at WrestleMania. I think people will be booing Cody and turning on him by the time we get to Royal Rumble next year. I think all the suits and the smiling and all the super duper crispy baby face good guy stuff, I don't think that plays well in today's TV landscape, for today's audience. I don't think people want that unblemished, you know, character that doesn't have a dark side, doesn't have an edge. And that's what Cody Rhodes is presenting. So if that's who Cody Rhodes is and is going to be, I don't think people are going to love that. I don't think that Cody necessarily has the staying power to have a super long run. The way that it has happened, Roman, I can't believe this has happened so fastly, right? But I watched WrestleMania 31 with my kids about a week ago. And it was really cool because that was about 10 years ago, right? So watching it with my kids are 6 and 8. And my kids had no idea things like Cody Rhodes used to be Stardust, or, you know, Wade Barrett was a wrestler. They barely know who Daniel Bryan is, right? And another cool thing about that WrestleMania 31 is that was like the beginning of the Charlotte Flair, Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns main event era. Now, looking back at that main event, it was Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar, and that was the beginning of Roman Reigns' run of WrestleMania main events. Right? And if you go back and watch that match, knowing what you know now, you can see how much the company knew about how far Roman had to go in order to be embraced by the audience. And they really put in so much effort to get this guy where he is now. They had him go out there in that first main event, that first WrestleMania main event of his, and take the beating of a lifetime from Brock Lesnar, get screwed out of the championship at the end by Seth Rollins. And people were still not on Roman's side at the end of that. And then he had main event after main event where he just kept losing and losing to Brock Lesnar. And they thought Roman was going to be off to the races immediately after that WrestleMania. I think the plan was for Seth to, you know, steal the title that WrestleMania, then reign as champion for the entire year, and then lose it the following year in Dallas, where, you know, they wanted the champions walking out of that to be Roman and Charlotte, which they were, right? But I think it's supposed to be Roman versus Seth in that main event instead of Roman versus Triple H. And it was going to be this display of this new era. And it's funny now because that new era was almost 10 years ago. And it's crazy, but we've come that far, right? And so Roman has come full circle, right? He was the babyface that the crowd rejected and rejected and rejected, went through a lot of things, became the heel that is undeniably recognized as the top guy, the lead character, and all of that. And the Roman babyface run, I said all that just to say, the Roman babyface run is coming, right? Because that was always the plan. When you saw Roman roll out there in WrestleMania 31 with the blue contacts and getting his butt kicked around by Brock Lesnar, that's the guy they always wanted to be on top, the hero Roman. And maybe after going through all of that and even coming back as a bad guy, maybe getting betrayed by The Rock can be the thing that gets Roman to that next level as the heel bad guy. Now, as the hero good guy, maybe the catalyst to get Roman over as a good guy truly will be a betrayal by The Rock. And not only betrayal by The Rock, but after he's betrayed by The Rock, now he's got to get the title back, right? So he's got to get the title back from a heel, Cody Rhodes. One thing about Cody Rhodes, you guys got to remember, you guys are campaigning so hard for Cody Rhodes to be champion, but Cody Rhodes is about the same age as The Rock. I mean, like, go ahead and Google what their actual ages are, but they're around the same class, right? If, again, look at that WrestleMania 31, right? They were both slotted where they were supposed to be, right? Like, Cody was in the mid-card. They were never going to let him up. Roman was in the main event. That's exactly where he wanted him to be. Cody and Roman been at this for about the same amount of time. So if y'all think that Cody is about to have a 10-year run on top, you are sadly mistaken. Sadly mistaken. Cody is going to have to maximize his time on top in the spotlight and do as much as he can. And if you really want to do as much as you can, your job is to do the best business you can. And whether you like it or not, the best business today can be done working with Roman Reigns. I don't make this up. I don't make the news. I just report it. I don't make the news. I just report it. So maybe Cody's grand plan, and maybe this is what will work out best for everyone, is for Cody to win this title, let people get sick of him, turn Cody into a bad guy, and then maybe good guy Roman Reigns can be the one to take the title back off Cody. Maybe the story ultimately is not Cody finishing his story, but maybe it's helping Roman finish his. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Listen, if you like what we're doing here, please like, comment, subscribe, hit that notification on the bell, hit that notification bell on the video so that you get notified each and every time we drop some brand new fire content on this page. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for sticking with me. Give it up for yourselves. Give it up for yourselves. All right, I got another question for you. Has TNA botched the Scott D'Amore firing? Has TNA botched the Scott D'Amore firing? Let me know what you think. Drop your answers down in the comment section below. We're about to talk about it. Let's get to it. So it's been about 2 weeks now since the announcement came out that Scott D'Amore had been fired as the president of TNA Wrestling and was replaced by Anthony Ciccone. And I think we can safely say at this point that this has been handled horribly, right? The latest news surrounding it was that the talent wrote a letter to Anthem basically saying that TNA, you know, was brought this far by Scott D'Amore and that we want a wrestling person in charge and that we think Scott is the best person from this job. So it's pretty much that they, that was their last ditch effort to try and, you know, show some love to Scott D'Amore and see if they could persuade Anthem in any way to get back, to bring him back. Then I saw everybody posting hourglasses. And when I saw everybody posting hourglasses, by the way, my first thought was that, hey, hopefully this is some kind of storyline. Because nobody's talking about TNA wrestling, right? That's the problem. We had gotten to January. Everyone was waiting for the rebrand at Hard to Kill. They did a fantastic match with Josh Alexander and Will Ospreay, and the momentum was up for TNA. The momentum was as high for TNA as it has been probably since 2005. TNA excitement was at a level it had not been in a very, very, very long time. And now, nobody is talking about TNA wrestling. Nobody's talking about Jordynne Grace being a rising star after her appearance in the Royal Rumble. Nobody's talking about Josh Alexander and what he's going to do to try to work his way back to the World Championship. No one's talking about the promising future of guys like the ABC or the Rascals or Zaya Brookside, right? Nobody's talking about any of that. All anybody is talking about when it comes to TNA is the Scott D'Amore firing. Scott D'Amore wanted to put a group together to purchase TNA, you know, all of this stuff. Does it have anything with him dating Giselle Shaw and all this other stuff? Anthem botched this firing so badly. They botched this so badly, okay? I think part of the reason that they made this move was because they looked over at WWE and they saw that Nick Khan, being a business person, a former agent, right? He's become the CEO of WWE, and he's initiated so many moves that have made the company so much money in a short amount of time. And I think they have this person, Anthony Ciccone, and they think that he is the businessman to help make TNA more profitable. Now, I don't blame them for having that thought process, but here's the thing. If you're going to try to do like WWE, then you got to do like WWE. Because one thing that WWE does is they pivot better than anybody. When WWE has a scandal, they got a distraction right there ready to go. Okay? Vince McMahon's got another lawsuit coming out. Oh, CM Punk returns. More Vince McMahon news. The Rock returns. More Vince McMahon news. Cody Rhodes, right? Like, WWE always has that distraction ready to go so that the bad news doesn't linger. And that is where TNA has failed to follow up so badly. Because you got podcasts and podcasters who don't even watch TNA and admit they don't even watch TNA talking about TNA and this firing. They're not talking about, is Moose going to be a good world champion? No surrenders coming up. Is Moose going to defeat Alex Shelley? You know, who's the best wrestler in TNA? What's the best match in TNA? Like, they're not talking about any of that. The only thing they're talking about is this. So that's one thing that TNA has done horribly bad. They weren't prepared for when the bad news comes, right? You got to have something to help you, you know, just distract the people and get their eyes, get their mind back on the product, because they've missed so badly. So badly. I mean, like, it's just... But since we're talking about TNA, right? And then here's the thing. There's not even a whole lot of follow-up there. Thank God I saw Moose out doing some media rounds to promote. They have some events coming up in New Orleans this weekend. And I saw Moose out there promoting them. He was going to radio shows and he did a live stream from the arena. I think he snuck in there because I'm pretty sure during the live stream, somebody from the arena came and tried to throw him out. But Moose is out there promoting the product, trying to get people back. He did a podcast interview with somebody. And during the podcast interview, you know, he pretty much said, hey, look, that letter was, it was a last ditch effort on the part of the talent to try and see if we can save Scott's job, bring Scott back in. But that's pretty much all as well, all it was. So saying that, you know, he just pretty much let it be known that, look, we tried it, right? That was our boy. And we hate the fact that he got done dirty and kind of, you know, just they snuck him out like that after he did all the work to get TNA back up to where it was a respectable name. But at some point, you got to move on. You have got to move on. You can't keep harping on the bad news, because if all anybody is getting from you is bad moves, bad news, they're going to move on. Because nobody wants to sit here and just deal with the bad news. This is entertainment. Wrestling is entertainment. We watch wrestling to have a nice escape from our day, from whatever, you know, whatever is going on, whether it's work or kids or, you know, your wife, whatever it is that you like or don't like that's going on in your life. You sit down and watch whatever you watch on TV to let your brain unwind, right? And if I can't watch my wrestling show without worrying about the outside nonsense, I got no interest in watching it. Maybe some people do. Because if you pay attention to, you know, social media, there are some people who promote these wrestling companies like it's their job. There are people out there who promote these wrestling companies like they are getting paid for them. And you know what? I applaud you guys. Good for you. Good for you. But what I will say is that you will enjoy those wrestling companies much more if you put that energy into pushing them to be better, right? Push those wrestling companies to give you good stories that you care about, right? I saw a fun post on TikTok where this creator was talking about what matches he would show to somebody to, if somebody had never seen wrestling and he wanted to show them wrestling to get them excited about it, he gave a list of matches that he would show, and one of them he said was like Johnny Gargano versus Adam Cole from TakeOver, you know, one of the Will Ospreay and Kenny Omega matches. Like he had, you know, a few. Oh, the Sasha Bailey match from TakeOver, a bunch of, you know, wrestler matches. And it's funny because I was watching this and I was thinking to myself, I wouldn't show anybody any of those matches, because to me, the stuff that's always given me my greatest memories from wrestling is the stuff that has feeling. Just off the top of my head, some of my best favorite wrestling memories. To me, look, I haven't seen a lot of those matches. I've seen the Bayley Sasha match. That was a great match. But that match had a great story to it, right? I'll take a moment like CM Punk versus John Cena at Money in the Bank 2010. I will take that as a favorite wrestling moment to show people as to why I like wrestling. Give me that 10 times out of 10. Because moments like that, that's what makes you want to go to the show. Like, I can sit down and watch Will Ospreay versus Ricochet and be entertained and dazzled. Oh my God, look how many flips they can do. That's amazing. I can't do that. That's so cool, right? That's cool. That's great. That's dope. I like it. I love it. You like it. I love it. Okay. But I would much, much, much rather be invested and sitting down and jump out of my seat when Kofi Kingston beats Daniel Bryan to win the WWE Championship. Hear me. Okay. I would much, much, much rather be invested in a story. So all of you people who are, you know, telling these wrestling companies that their poop don't stink, and you're allowing them to just feed you any matches by any people and whatever type of product that they want to, okay? And send these wrestlers to go out there and kill themselves and not give you anything you remember. How much do you guys really remember? And you can tell me, this is an honest question. Go ahead and drop your answers in the chat. How much do you guys really remember these amazing matches that you love? Because I tell you, you know what I remember when I think about my favorite wrestling memories? I remember 18 months of Sting versus the NWO. 18 months of Sting being the hero who disappeared and came back, was talking. Now he's not talking. And now the NWO is taking over. And now he's got to be the hero to bring it all back home. Okay, I remember that. That's what hit in my soul as a wrestling fan. Okay, that's the stuff that made me have to turn it on each and every week and just see what's going to happen next. Rhea Ripley and Charlotte Flair had the best match at WrestleMania last year of the whole weekend. You know how many times I've gone back to watch that match? Zero. Would you like to know how many times I've gone back to watch the pre-match video and entrances and introductions for the Cody Rhodes Roman Reigns match? At least five times. At least five times. You know why? Because that's where all the emotion is. That's where all the emotion is. It's in the story of Cody Rhodes and what he went through to get to that match. It's in the intro. You watch Cody Rhodes come out and walk around the ring and say hi to Brody Lee's kid and pick up his baby. He picked up his baby. Come on. Come on. When that man picked up his baby and kissed his baby, you were like, yo, that's it. That's it. This is happening for this man. He picked up his baby. And then Roman Reigns comes out. They had the piano guy playing, doom, 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 right? And so dramatic. Then he does his slow entrance to the ring, his long ring walk, you know, throws up the ones, everybody's going crazy. Samantha Irvin does her amazing, you know, heartfelt entrance and, her introductions, and the crowd is going crazy. I don't even need to watch the match. Because just watching that part right there gave me what I needed. I'm invested. I watched Will Ospreay versus Josh Alexander a couple of weeks ago. It's one of the best matches I have ever seen. That might be the best match in TNA history. Ask me when I plan to go watch that match again. Maybe. I don't, nothing against the match. Again, I told you, great match. Great match. But I have no idea if or when I ever plan to go back and watch that match again. Okay? Because the great matches aren't what necessarily do it for me. Now, I will say this. You know, my personal wrestling watching habits. I do enjoy watching wrestling while I'm doing cardio. I have an elliptical. I got a spin bike. And, you know, while I'm sitting there, you know, pedaling or, you know, working out on the elliptical, it's cool. Like, I like watching wrestling. Like, you know what I mean? It gets me amped up watching wrestling, watching football, watching stuff that's athletic. I do enjoy it for those purposes. But as far as, like, for my entertainment, that gets me, like, mentally excited, great match doesn't do anything for me. Now, whatever you like, you like. And I'm all here for, you know, everybody getting to enjoy wrestling however they want to. I'm never going to knock that. But for me, like I said, I need stories. And bringing this all back to TNA, y'all got to give us some stories. Because right now, the biggest drama that you got is the drama between your company and your wrestlers. And it ain't cute. Okay? It ain't cute. This is not the type of thing that's going to inspire people to want to watch your show, to want to tune in, to want to come out. People not going to go in their pocket, pay their money, drive to the arena so they can sit down and wonder if the network is beefing with the wrestlers. That's not interesting. I mean, people don't want your drama, okay? People want to be entertained. So get back to entertaining me, TNA. That's all I want. All right, listen, guys, that's all I got for today. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Listen, if you like this, if you like this pod, please hit the like video, hit the like button on the video, hit the subscribe button on the channel. So you subscribe to the channel and hit the notification bell so you get notified each and every time we drop some brand new fire content on this page. And if you really like the show, you really want to help out the channel, the best thing you can do is share the content. Tell a friend to tell a friend. Let's bring more people into the conversation. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with me. Until next time, I'm TW. Peace out.